We're holding on Masecht Rosh Hashanah, Perek Alf, Mishnah Beis. In the first Mishnah, we saw that there are four Rashi Shanim, four beginnings to the year. And now the Mishnah tells us, Ba'af Rakim. What is a Perek? Perek is a joint. What is a joint? A joint is a place that connects two things. It's a place that really discerns the separation between two things. So, Ba'af Rakim, in four joints, four points, Ha'olam Nidon, the world is judged. Ba'Pesach, on Pesach we are judged, Ala Tvua, about the grains. The Torah tells us, bring before me the Omer, the first harvest on the first day Chol Moed Pesach, bring it before me, and then you can start your harvest. So we have a special mitzvah that has to do with the harvest. So from here, sages derived, why did God give us that mitzvah on Pesach? Because on Pesach we're going to be judged how the grains are going to grow. So on Pesach we're judged for the grain. Ba'atzeret in Shavuos al Perot Ha'ilan. We are judged for the fruits of the year, how the fruits of the year are going to be. It's because on Shavuos we bring the Shtei Alechem, and after the Shtei Alechem we could start bringing our Bikurim, all the first fruits as the offering. So the Torah told us bring the first fruit, the Shtei Alechem, on Shavuos, and then from then on, that's why it's called Yom HaBikurim, right? Shavuos is the day of Bikurim, the day of the first fruits. So because we have a mitzvah that pertains to the first fruits, so we understand that God is judging us about our fruits on Shavuos, on Atzeret. B'Rosh Hashanah, notice that here the Mishnah calls which Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei, what we call Rosh Hashanah, even though in the previous Mishnah we saw Arba'a Rashi Shanim, but in general when we say Rosh Hashanah, what do we mean? We mean Rosh Hashanah of the first of Tishrei. Even though we have many Chagim, when we say Chag, which Chag do we mean? Sukkot. So here, B'Rosh Hashanah, in the beginning of the year, the first of Tishrei, Kol Bei Olam, all those that have come to the world of Rim, Lefanav, they pass before him, Kivnei Maron, like young sheep, Shenemar, as the verse says, Hayotzer, the one who fashioned them, that's Hashem, he views them, Yachad Libam, he views all their hearts together. And from here, our sages derive that there are two aspects to judgments on Rosh Hashanah. There's one second, what we say on Rosh Hashanah in the Tefillah, Be'achas Sekira, with one look, God judges all of us. And then there's the individual judgment, where each person gets his own private audience before Hashem on the night of Rosh Hashanah. HaMevin El Kol Ma'aseim, God understands all our actions and judges us for the year to come, what kind of year we're going to have. U'vechag, and on Sukkot, Nidonin Alamayim, we are judged about the water, because on Sukkot we know we have a special mitzvah to libate, to pour water before Hashem. On Rosh Hashanah we have a special mitzvah to blow shofar. God says that will bring your memory before me for good. Shofar is a version of prayer, right? Shofar is like a cry, that's the heart praying. No words, just a child weeping before his parent. That's the shofar, we're weeping before Hashem. So Hashem says, weep before me and I'll judge you, I'll give you a good year. So we said, four times we are judged during the year. Pesach, we have the mitzvah of the first harvest, so we're judged on the grains. Shavuos of the whole year. Shavuos, right, the grains of the year. Shavuos, we are judged on the fruits of the year, that's when we bring the first fruit, the Shtei Alechem. Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar, we have special tefillot, malchuyot zichonot shofarot, we are judged, the people are judged, the world is judged. And on Sukkot, we have a special mitzvah water, and we are judged on the waters of the year.
Why is it just called Chag?
That's a good question. Why Sukkot is called Chag? I don't remember. Okay. I don't remember. The Mfarshim say that the word Chag really means like Lachog, circle. And the idea is that the first concept of Chag is to rejoice in a circle, which we did on Sukkot. And on Sukkot, we know they had Simchat Beit HaShoevah, and that's the day when we had special rejoicing. We finished the harvest, we brought in the harvest, it was a pleasant time. So Sukkot was the time where we had special festivities, and that's why it's singled out as the Chag. Mishnah Gimel. Al Shisha, yeah. Sure. No, but let me give you a different pen. You'll have an easier time with it. In there. You know how to use this type of pen?
No, okay.
I don't mind. Use it.
I didn't see it.
The Mishnah says, Mishnah Gimel, Al Shisha Chodashim Ashiluchin Yotzein. Beis Din used to send out messengers to let the people out in Galus know when was Rosh Hashanah. We know that the lunar month is 29 and a half days. Now, before we continue, we're going to have to take 3 minutes, between 3 and 5 minutes, to understand what is the Jewish new month. What is the new moon? So you guys are going to have to follow now. Yosef, could you pass me my notebook from there, please? Yeah. You'll see a spiral? Yeah. Todaoba. The spiral. Todaoba. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, we are Earth, and even though we revolve around the sun, we will imagine as though the sun and the moon revolve around us, because from planet Earth, that's what it looks like. Okay, so let's take the first of the month. This is the Earth. We'll draw a flat line. And let's say this is east, and this is west. And the sun, the ball of the sun, rises 6 o'clock in the morning. 6 o'clock at night, the ball of the sun sets and continues full circle around the Earth. We know that's not what happened. The Earth is rotating, but we will describe it as though the sun is revolving around the Earth to make it easier. The sun set at 6 o'clock at night, and directly after that, we see the small slither of the moon over here on the west, and the moon sets after the sun. By 6:20, 6:30, the moon set. Okay? Now, the moon and the sun are rotating around the Earth. Really, they're not. The Earth is turning. And because the Earth is turning, it looks like all the stars are moving. But because the Earth is turning, it looks like all the stars are moving from east to west. Every star in the sky throughout the night is moving from east to west because the Earth is rotating from west to east. So as we're moving, on the northern hemisphere, everything's moving from east to west. Southern hemisphere, everything's moving from... Right? Okay, whatever. Now... Throughout the night, the next morning, the sun will rise, let's say, at 6:02. And really, the moon is following behind it. But the moon goes at a slightly slower pace than the sun. At about, every day, it's about 40 minutes slower than the sun. So by nighttime, the sun is going to set, let's say, the moon and the sun are rotating around the Earth, let's say, right? And the moon goes slightly slower than the sun. For every day, it goes 40-some-odd minutes slower than the sun. So if on the first day of the month, the sun set, and then the moon was here, throughout the night, the sun was going around the Earth. We're describing it this way, right? The sun was going around the Earth, and the moon was following it. But by the time morning comes, the sun is going to rise at 6 o'clock again, let's say, and the moon is already lagging 20, 30 minutes behind it. The moon will only rise at 6:30. Throughout the day, the moon continues its lag. By nighttime, the sun sets at 6 o'clock, and the moon is higher in the sky because it's lagging behind, and the moon is only going to set at 6:40. And we have a slightly bigger moon. It's the second day of the month. We continue this cycle. Throughout the night, the sun goes around the Earth. The next morning, the sun rises at 6:02. The moon is going to rise at 7:10. And by nighttime, the sun is going to set.
That's on everything.
Right. So each time, so the sun is going to set, and the moon is already up here, and we're going to see much more of the moon, and the moon is only going to set when? At 7:15, 7:20. Okay? Throughout the night, the sun goes around the Earth. The next morning, the sun rises. We'll make believe it's 6 o'clock. And the moon is already only rising at 7:30, 7:40. But that night, the sun sets, and the moon is up here. It's lagging. And the moon is going to set closer to 8 o'clock. And that's how it goes throughout the month. Comes the 15th of the month. The sun sets at 6 o'clock. And the moon rises on the other side. On the 15th of the month, the middle of the lunar month, when the sun sets, you have a full moon rising on the eastern hemisphere. The moon rises, and at the end of the night, the moon sets. The moon sets, the sun rises. Comes the 16th of the month, the sun sets. 40 minutes later, the moon rises, and now we don't have a whole moon. Now the moon is starting to wax. We have a smaller moon. 40 minutes after sunset, you have a smaller moon rising, and before the moon can set, the sun rises already, right? Because the moon rose, let's say, at 6:40, and as it makes its way across the sky by 5 o'clock in the morning before it set, the sun rose. So the first half of the month, every night, we will see the moon set. The second half of the month, every night we will see the moon rise, but we won't see it set. Only on the 15th do we have a nighttime period where at the beginning of the night the moon rises, and at the end of the night the moon sets. But the rest of the month, you see either sunrise, either moonrise or moonset. You don't see both, because the sun is in the sky by one of them. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Which one, more or less?
Okay.
Comes the 28th of the month. The sunset, and the moon is directly in front of it. Let's say 40 minutes in front of it, right? And the only thing you'll see is the part of the moon that's facing the sun. Comes 5:20 in the morning, and the moon rises. You have a small slither of the moon. It just rose. And 40 minutes later, the sun rises. That is the 28th day of the month. The moon rises, and the sun follows it. Throughout the day, they're proceeding through the sky. We don't see the moon, we only see the sun. And you only saw the moon rise shortly before sunrise. Shortly before the sun rose, you saw the moon rise. And now throughout the day, the moon is advancing, the sun is advancing, and at some point, the sun overtakes the moon. Now, you'll notice that the second half of the month, we see this part of the moon. The first half of the month, we see this part of the moon. We always see the part that's facing the sun. So now, just before sunrise, we saw the moon rise, and then the sun rose, and then the sun overtakes the moon. When the sun overtakes the moon, on the 29th, the sun overtakes the moon, we will see this slither. The question is, where does the sun overtake the moon? Sometimes it's the middle of the day, sometimes it's the middle of the night. Let's say it happens just before sunset. So the sun is going to set, and then we have this tiny slither of the moon. We might see it, we might not. Depends on how much time there was between the sunset and how much of the moon is there. It could be the sunset and the moon was just behind it, so you couldn't see the moon. That slither, the first slither that we see here on the western hemisphere, directly after sunset, that's the new moon. And that's what we want witnesses to come and tell Beis Din, we saw that moon. So come the 29th of the month, we don't know. That night, will they see it? Or will it be too small, and they'll only see it on the 30th? And sometimes, because the month is exactly 29 and a half days, not exactly, but Berech 29 and a half days, that's why sometimes the month we say is 29 days and the next day is Rosh Chodesh, the first of the next month. And sometimes the month is 30 days and the next day is Rosh Chodesh. And what we want witnesses, what are the witnesses of the new moon? Those are witnesses that say, directly after sunset, we saw that moon over there, that small slither on this side. You guys with me? Now, Beis Din knew the mathematics, the astronomy, and they knew to estimate whether the witnesses are telling the truth or lying, whether there was a moon or not.
What do you need the witnesses?
Good question. That deserves its own discussion. If you want, you could raise it on a Thursday night. It's a long conversation. So now, the people out in Chutzarts, they needed to know whether the month was a month of 29 or 30 days. Which day was Rosh Hashanah? Which day is Yom Kippur? When does the next month begin? So Beis Din used to send out messengers. So our Mishnah tells us that Shisha Chodashim Ashluchin Yotzin. For 6 months, there were 6 months out of the year that Beis Din used to send out messengers to tell the people in Chutz La'aretz whether the month was a month of 29 or 30. Al Nisan, regarding the month of Nisan, Mipnei Pesach. So the people in Chutz La'aretz would know which day Pesach falls out on. Al Av, about the month of Av, Mipnei Ta'anit. So that the people would know which day is Tisha B'Av. That's the most important fest because the most weighty and the most things happened on that day. Al Elul, for the month of Elul, Mipnei Rosh Hashanah. Because if they know when Elul began, they knew that 99.999 times out of 99.999% of the time, the month of Elul only had 29 days. So they would estimate, if they told them the month of Elul began on this day, the meaning of only had 29 days, so then they knew to count 29 days and then celebrate Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, in Chutz La'aretz, they never knew if they were celebrating Rosh Hashanah correctly, because Rosh Hashanah is on Rosh Chodesh. They had to estimate. So they'd estimate and they'd keep one day Rosh Hashanah. They didn't keep 2 days. The Mishnah is talking before the institution of a two-day Yom Tov. And that's why Beis Din would send out people to tell them how, when Elul began, so that they could estimate when is going to be Rosh Hashanah. Al Tishrei, then they'd send out messengers after Rosh Hashanah to tell them when Tishrei began, Mipnei Takanat HaMoadot, so that as far as they got by the 10th of Tishrei, these messengers would tell the people and then they'd know when to do Yom Kippur. Imagine you're fasting and you don't know, am I fasting on the right day or not? If you don't have a choice, you don't have a choice. But if you do have a choice, so they'd send out messengers, and this way they'd also know when Sukkot began.
Well, if you don't have a choice and you don't know when Yom Kippur
Well, they knew that 99.9% of the time, it was a 29-day month, Elul. The Gemara says twice in history it wasn't. Twice or three times in history, that's it. So they knew pretty much that it was going to be a 29-day month, Elul. So, Al Kislev mipnei Chanukah, they'd send out messengers in Kislev because of Chanukah, v'al Adar mipnei Purim, and for the month of others, people know when to celebrate Purim. And when the temple was still built, then they'd send out messengers for the month of Iyar, so that people who couldn't make the first Pesach would know when to come and celebrate the second Pesach, Pesach Katan.
Why not for Sivan?
For Shavuos?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you have for rabbinic holidays, they want to determine.
Maybe because they wouldn't get far enough, but I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Maybe because of Sefiras Omer. I don't know.
The reason for the counting was to be extra sure. Meaning, if you had determined in Nisan, why would you need the clarification throughout all these holidays?
Because what does it help you what Nisan
right,
was? You don't know when Tisha B'Av is. What was the month of Tammuz? Okay, so
they did not figure. They did not have.
They didn't have a set calendar at this time. It went by the month, went by the moon. Did we have witnesses who saw? Did we not have witnesses who saw? Which month was full? Which month had 30 days? Which month had 29? So this was talking about, this Mishnah was talking about the messengers that Beis Din sends out to the Jews in Chutz Lartz. Now the Mishnah goes on, the next Mishnah goes on to the witnesses. You remember we just described that people are looking after sunset. Do we see a new moon or not? Comes the 29th by night. As the sun sets, we look out to the west and we see, is there a new moon or not? Now, let's say I see a new moon, I see a slither. Maybe I'm the only one who saw it. So the Torah says, if you saw it, go. Let's say the new month fell out on Shabbos, meaning sunset Friday. I see the sunset, I see the new moon. Now it's Shabbos. Do I go travel all the way to the courts that's out in Tzipori or out in Tveria or out in Beis Shearim or in Yerushalayim? Or do I say, well, what can I do? It's Shabbos. So the Torah says, you go. Chazal said, no, it's not necessary. But Chazal left it with the Torah's ruling on 2 months. The Chazal said, Al shnei chodashim chanin tshabbat. We'll let you do Chilo Shabbos to let us know about 2 months. Al Nisan v'al Tishrei, for the month of Nisan and Tishrei, Shabbat HaShluchin Yotzin, because on these 2 months, it was critical that the messengers would go out and tell people when the Yamim Tovim would be. So for these 2 months, Chazal said, we'll let you do what the Torah said. Every other month, Chazal said, don't be Mechalel Shabbos. Sheben Ashluchin Yotzin Lesuria, because then the messengers went out all the way out to Syria. Uven Metaknin Tamadot, and that's when you really know when the holidays would fall out. Uchshea Bet HaMikdash Kayam, and when the temple was still erect, Mechalin Afal Kulan, then the rabbis taught people to come and testify before the courts for any Rosh Chodesh, Mipnei Takanat HaKorban, so that they'd know when to bring the sacrifice, the Korban Musaf, in honor of Rosh Chodesh. So then they left it with the biblical ruling that you're Mechal Shabbos. When the temple was destroyed, they said it's not necessary anymore. We're not bringing a Korban. It's not so critical when we say Hallel and when we say Musaf, the prayers. For the prayers, we're not going to let you be Mechal Shabbos. The only thing is, for these 2 months that are critical, we'll let you be Mechal Shabbos. For all the Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Are you guys ready for Mishnah Hay?
How were they able to reach Syria?
They sent messengers. Not that day. It took them a few days, but we wanted to get there before Pesach, before Sukkot.
So they did not know when Rosh Chodesh was. Meaning they would only
Once the Beis Din got messengers, they'd send out people on horseback to go out to Syria and tell them when Rosh Chodesh was.
They did not have a system. They did not have a system.
We'll see in a minute about the system they had. Let's see.
The problem is that the reason Rosh Hashanah, as I understand, is 2 days back then also. No. It's because Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Hashanah.
That's true. That's a later institution. That's a later institution. Our Mishnah is dealing with the time when they did not yet have 2 days Rosh Hashanah.
If Rosh Hashanah starts right on Rosh Chodesh, then how are they supposed to get out to Iraq? I mean,
They're not getting out to Iraq. For Rosh Hashanah, they wouldn't get out. The idea is they'll get out in time for Sukkot.
Oh, so how do they know when?
Rosh Hashanah, we said. They always celebrated it 30 days. No. They assume that Elul is 29 days, the way it is most of the years. And they celebrated Rosh Hashanah on the 30th day.
They knew also when
And then we wanted to get messengers out to them before Yom Kippur and before Sukkot, so we'd send out messengers as soon as we could.
Right, but even if they didn't get out before Yom Kippur, that's okay too.
Correct. Correct. Okay. Mishnah Hey. Ben Shen Revalil, whether the moon was seen clearly, Ben She Loni Revalil, or if the moon was not seen clearly, Mechalin Lavta Shabbat. We are obligated to get to the courts and let them know what we saw, even at the cost of Chilul Shabbos.
Rabbi Yos. The Beit Mikdash is Kayam all months.
Right, exactly. Very good.
Alil
means clearly, whether it was seen clearly or not. I might say, it was a clear new moon. Everyone saw. What do I have to desecrate Shabbos and go out to Jerusalem? I'm sure they saw it in Jerusalem too. The rabbi said, no. If you saw the new moon, come. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, im nireh v'alil, if it was seen clearly, en chalin lavta Shabbat, then we do not desecrate Shabbos over it. Maaseh, it happened, shavu yoter ma'arbim zug, that more than 40 pairs passed, v'ikvan Rabbi Akiva b'lud, and as they're passing, they're coming from Chutz La'aretz, Lud is a border city, Rabbi Akiva says, stop! We already sent 40 pairs. I'm sure one of them was accepted. You don't need to come and desecrate Shabbos to continue going to Jerusalem to testify before the courts. Shalach lo Rabban Gamliel. So Rabban Gamliel sent him word, im me'akevata tarabim. If you detain the masses, nimzeta machshilan latid lavo. You are causing that they will err in the future. They'll say, last month I desecrated Shabbos, and Rabbi Akiva said 40 people already came. He didn't let me go to the high court. So what am I going to do it this month for? What's the point? Other people will go. So even at the cost of Shabbos, let everyone come. That's what Rabbi Gamliel so told him. That's how we go la'alacha. You're causing them to stumble. Lifnei iver lo titen michshol. Okay, so let's review what we saw today.
So what is Rabbi Akiva Lute doing here? I thought it was Rabbi Yossi that
held. Rabbi Yossi said when it's clear. Here it's not an issue that it was clear. Rabbi Akiva saw 40 pairs already went.
It's just a matter of...
You see that Rabbi Akiva did not see the new moon. He was still sitting in Lud. What was he doing there? Why didn't he go? Why was he bumping into all these messengers?
How hard would it be to find to see the new moon? Meaning,
darling, we're talking about Friday night. It was a new moon on Shabbos. Who's standing outside looking for the moon Friday night? You're in shul davening. No. So their Kavadat Shabbat was outdoors. So what I'm saying isn't such a good idea. It seems like they did Kavadat Shabbat outside. So then everyone should have seen it. But you see, he only had 40 pairs.
You have wrestlers already.
Okay, let's review what we see. We saw that the world is judged four times through the year. Pesach on the grains, Shavuos on the fruits, Rosh Hashanah mankind, and Sukkot for the waters. We said that Beis Din sends out messengers, and the Beis Din would send out for 6 months. Each time for the different Yom Tov. And the question was rightfully asked, what about Sivan for Shavuos? We said that the messengers, the people who witnessed the new moon, should really desecrate Shabbos. But the rabbi said, when the temple's erect, you could desecrate Shabbos. Now that there's no longer a temple, only for 2 months, for Nisan and Tishrei, because there we have the majority of the holidays. And that's when we send out messengers to Syria. And then the Mishnah discussed, if it was seen clearly, we say, they should still desecrate Shabbos and come forth? Rabbi Yossi says no. If it's seen clearly, they could assume Beis Din has witnesses close by who saw it. And then the Mishnah tells us, we say that even if it's seen clearly, they should go. And the Mishnah tells us that there once occurred that 40 pairs passed Rabbi Akiva, 40 sets of witnesses, and Rabbi Akiva detained them. And Rabbi Gamliel told them, you're wrong. If you're going to detain them in the future, they won't come. They'll assume other people saw it. And that's really a stumbling block because you can never know who saw it and who didn't. I assume you guys